Welcome to the Dad Experience. Another great episode here in 2018. We have another Skype call here for this episode. Mike again was too lazy to get out of the house and drive down here and kind of have a face-to-face via with that again on Skype. But that's all right. New technology is great. So, Mike, how has it been going? How are things going with you and the family?
It's all right. I'm a little bit tired of the snow.
Yeah?
Just a little bit. Well, snow. You know, it's cold, it snows, and it warms up, it melts, and then we get more snow. It's annoying.
I've been seeing those memes a lot lately on Facebook about Michigan, about how it's been like the sub-zero weather, then all of a sudden it's 50 degrees, everything's melted, and then like the next day we have another 6 inches of snow. It's pretty accurate, you know? What's that saying that they've always said about Michigan? If you don't like the weather in Michigan, wait 5 minutes, it'll change. Is that it?
Something similar. I imagine there's like a billion different variants of the same thing. Just wait a little bit, and then it'll change.
Totally. No, it's funny, but you went to Northern Michigan for college, but I'm assuming that there was two types of weather. There was like spring, early spring / fall, and winter pretty much, or was the summer pretty warm?
The summer was pretty warm. I mean, it was either really freaking cold, a lot of snow,
mm-hmm.
or it was just like spring weather.
Yeah.
And then there in between the two, there's just like this little bit of perfectness, like during the fall where it wasn't blazing hot and the bugs weren't out murdering you.
How hot would it get there in the summer up there in Marquette?
It would get pretty warm. I mean, you get up in the 80s sometimes.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, so you did experience some of that warmer weather. I haven't been up that far in a long time, so I don't really remember. But yeah,
it's gorgeous up there, man. You got to take the fam up there.
Yeah,
and,
that is a trip.
Pictured Rocks.
Oh, for sure.
Falls.
That is. That could be a whole episode. Just great places that we visited with our family at some point. We got to do one of those.
Michigan's pretty nice.
One of those future episodes. But I'll tell you, man. I was watching. We just started watching David Letterman has a new show back out on Netflix. I don't know if you caught it or not yet. And his first guest was Barack Obama, which was. It was pretty cool because I haven't seen much from him since he's left the office of president. You know, I've seen stuff, but he hasn't been obviously as prevalent as what he once was when he was in the office. And he's got some great dad advice. If only I had more power to get him on our show. But man, he had some great things that he talked about. One thing that I know kind of hit home with me, and I'm not going to spoil the show for those of you that haven't seen it yet, but he talked about wearing anything that happens to your kid, and this is totally, it rang true with me, and it just resonated, so I wanted to talk about it. Anything that happens to your kid, it's like if you had your heart on your outside, and it just rips apart, and that's kind of what it feels like when something happens to your daughter, son, or child. It's just so nuts. And to hear it come from him, and that was kind of what he talked about, and he just talked about how family is so important, and just helping and being there when his daughter went away to college, and trying to be a dad. It was just really neat to see him humanized, not as this pedestal of a president.
To see him as a dad, a political figure.
And I don't know that I've ever seen a president or former president in that light before. And that's what's so neat. It was neat. It was very, very cool to see. And there's just some neat things. And even David Letterman had some great things to talk about with his family. So normally I don't push shows or things like that, but man, it was just neat to hear a different perspective from people that you don't always particularly see as a parent. You only see them from, you know, whether it's politics or in the movies or TV. So I thought that was neat.
Right.
So that was kind of something neat that I had just seen recently. So check it out. It's on Netflix. Can't remember the title, but
give it a shot.
It's the new David Letterman
I think it's TV show. Tonight's Guest, something like that.
Yeah, Tonight's Guest Needs No Introduction or something like that. I can't remember.
Something like
that. Anyways, Well, we have a great, great, great episode for you today. I'm always excited to bring these episodes to you. This one in particular, I know we do a lot of things with the younger children. Hopefully in the future we'll have older ones, but we kind of hit on one of these type of episodes in the past, but it was a soon-to-be dad. Not a fairly new, brand new dad, father out there. So I asked our next guest, Mark, to be on the show and tell us about kind of his experience with just becoming a dad, a father, and how that's changed his life and what's been going on. So, Mark, welcome to the Dad Experience. Thanks for taking your time out and chatting with us today.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah. No problem. Well, we like to start our show off always just to get a little bit better feel of our guest and who they are. Can you tell us the makeup of your family and who lives with you at home and all those good things? You can include ages or not. And you know, feel free if you want to share where you're from, if you want to kind of keep that to you guys, that's no problem either. But, you know, just tell us a little bit about your family.
Sure thing. So it's my wife and I. We live here in Lansing. Mm-hmm. It's my wife and I and our 7-year-old Weimaraner Wally.
All right.
And our 4-week-old baby Edmund.
Nice. Four weeks old. So you still
4 week.
You still don't know what sleep is right now, huh? And I don't think you ever will, but man, those first 4 weeks. Whew. So if we hear escaping to go and take care of a baby, we know why Mark has disappeared a little bit, because man, 4 weeks, that's early, and I appreciate you. That's a tough time to get out and do one of these things. So
no problem.
I guess to start off, you know, is it what you expected or not, or is it more demanding, less demanding? What do you think? Welcome to being a dad.
Welcome to the club.
You know, honestly, I didn't go into it with tons of expectations. I knew it was going to be an irrevocable change in my life and my lifestyle and our lives and lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I didn't go into it with tons of expectations. That being said, it has been both the longest and shortest 4 weeks of my life.
So how are you handling that sleep right now? Are you getting any?
We are, actually. This baby, guys, has been amazing. The first few weeks, we had us on a pretty strict 3-hour schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, every 3 hours he would eat, no matter if he was sleeping or not. We'd wake him up to feed him, because he was born at just about 6.5 pounds. So the doctors wanted to make sure he was getting enough to eat and putting on weight young. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that really helped us mentally. I found it a lot easier to wake up at 3 a.m. when I knew at midnight that I was going to wake up at 3 a.m.
Right.
It just helped me mentally. So now he's eaten a lot more than he was, you know, even a week ago. Uh-huh. So we've been able to let him go a little longer, and we've been able to alternate shifts. So I have kind of the early night shift, and my wife has the late night, super early morning shift. So we're getting more sleep than I like to admit to other new dads and new parents that I know.
Hey, there's no shame in that, man. You get the sleep when you can, and you find that as you go. You definitely do. So there's no shame in getting more sleep, because I don't think even more sleep is really a reality. I think it's more sleep than average, maybe, but you're getting, so do not even ever feel like it would be a shame to tell people that, man, I'd be getting sleep whenever I can. As a matter of fact, if we weren't talking right now, I have today off, I would probably be sleeping.
Take the bonuses while they come, man.
Yeah, totally. So, you know, what was kind of the biggest eye opener now since having a child that you didn't have maybe before, or you just didn't expect?
I guess he just goes everywhere with us.
Mm-hmm.
It's another dimension of your life. It's another thing you have to take into account when you are planning really anything at all. You know, right down to, can I go shovel the snow right now?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's just another, and of course it adds, you know, 15 to 20, if you're trying to leave the house, it adds 15 to 20 minutes.
Yep. You got to start 15 to 20 minutes early.
I'll tell you.
You want to get there on time.
Yeah. I never understood being late until I had a kid.
and the more kids you have, the more time you got to give yourself.
That's what I was just going to say. That and the older they get, the more time you have to give yourself is what I'm told. So
that's accurate. I have a 4-year-old and 6-year-old, and if we're not starting to get ready 20 minutes before we would normally start to get ready, then we're already behind.
Yeah, I'm not the best at being on time always for certain things, but now, man, holy moly, it's even worse. But you know, it is what
you're on
it
that
is.
European clock.
Yeah, I try to be, right? But it's that's definitely something that was an eye opener for me, is just getting ready and the amount of stuff. I mean, the stuff that you take. And I do have to say that for us has gotten a little bit better as my daughter's gotten older. Now with 2, probably going to be about the same. But as she's gotten older, I feel like it isn't as much stuff that we have to take anymore either.
And that gradually tapers down. Like Edmund, Mark, I bet wherever he goes, he comes along with like a sizable duffel bag full of crap.
So
wipes and diapers.
Yeah. Some friends of ours were very, very nice. They bought us a Land's End, like a canvas tote bag.
Uh-huh.
And yep. All nice. His effects, at least at this age, fit into that. And you're right. Yeah, it's wipes and diapers and some food. Maybe a blanket that you can set down to change him on.
Right.
But being that he's so young, you know, we're not toting toys everywhere or pack and plays or whatever. So
right now
we've got it limited to that Land's End bag. But yeah, I'm sure that's a short lived.
Right.
I called it the dad bag. Jamie wanted some, a little more a decorative bag for the boys. And I was like, you know what? If you want me to carry this around, it's got to be simple. It's got to have like one color scheme. I think we wound up with like a big gray bag with some orange trim. It was a really nice bag, but I wasn't going to carry around anything with, paisleys or stars or anything other.
No. Silly. Yeah, I don't. We don't either. Actually, we have 2 bags, which, you know. We weren't going to do 2 bags. We did 2 just because if there was ever a time we had to do a switch. I had a bag. My wife had a bag. We don't always have 2 everywhere, but if we know we're going to switch, it's 2 because then you always have a good amount of diapers in the one versus the other, and it's just a handoff. It's not handing the bag. It's not handing all that stuff off or the toys when you get to that point in the, play with wherever you go or in the car. It's just that's the kind of stuff. So there's stuff wherever we go. So that's kind of been the MO for us. But have you guys taken the baby far away? I know it's only been 4 weeks, so you're probably still kind of like feeling it out. I don't know if you're still nervous
staying
to get out and doing
lot.
Stuff, but have you trekked out, especially, man, in this cold in the Michigan area? Have you guys trekked out and done, farther distances, or what have you done so far together?
We have, and that's another thing. Actually, to go back to maybe your first question is, a lot of people when they're new parents, especially maybe with smaller babies, are kind of nervous to hold them or to handle them.
Mm-hmm.
I found that absolutely wasn't the case,
mm-hmm.
and I was sort of surprised by that. That I really have, obviously, support the head and neck, support the butt, but I had really no nerves about holding him, transferring him, moving him from me to my wife or whoever else wanted to hold him at the time. Right. And I was sort of surprised by that I was so comfortable right away.
Yeah.
So the information that you had prior to having Edmund was that, he's going to be fragile. And then when you had him, you're like, wow, he's not really like super. I mean, obviously support the head, neck and butt.
Sure.
But they're pretty tough, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing I was told during the pregnancy is, babies are scientifically engineered to withstand first-time parents.
Yeah.
That's a good philosophy. Right. I like
so,
that.
So you're right. You don't toss them around, but you also, if you need to get the arm in the sleeve, put the arm in the sleeve.
Yeah.
Not going to break. It's not going to break.
They'll be
off.
Okay.
Right.
Right.
No, you're
but,
right.
But to answer your most recent question, we have, since it was the holidays, We did end up going to my parents' house down in Lenawee County. So it's about an hour and 15 minutes and or so. We didn't stay overnight, so it was a quick trip. And we also took him to Kalamazoo a couple weeks ago to meet his great-grandmother and father.
Oh, wow.
Whoa, that's super cool.
That is really cool.
Spent, And this particular, so this is my wife's grandma and grandpa. This is like their 25th or 26th great grandchild.
Wow.
Oh my God.
So they were excited to meet him. Her grandma was the first one to know he was born. So we wanted to take him down and have him meet him.
That's super neat.
That is awesome. That's pretty rare.
Yeah, that is. We have, I have a couple of great grandmas, but to have a great grandma and grandpa too, man, that's awesome. Yeah. That's really cool.
Oh, yeah, great grandma and grandpa. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's really cool. Well, sounding like it. So, how were the holidays and how was all that? I mean, I'm assuming if there's 25 great grandchildren, right? That means you guys got to have a lot of cousins or uncles and aunts on that side. How does that work out?
We do. My wife's dad is one of 13.
Mm-hmm.
So that family Christmas party we did regrettably have to skip this year because he was born on a Thursday morning and that party was that Saturday.
Oh wow! Wow.
So he was 2 days old. So we skipped it.
Yeah. Well, that's understandable.
And we also skipped a wedding of her cousins out in Holland that was maybe the 30th of December.
Yeah. That's
still pretty.
That's young. But, I mean,
and everyone was really cool. On. Yeah, exactly. Everyone was really cool. You know, the weather, especially for the wedding, wasn't great. So everyone understood. Everyone was good about it. So
yeah,
he'll be introduced to them soon enough.
Right. Right. Kind of going back, and I'm going to kind of backtrack a little bit. You were talking about feeding every 3 hours and to gain weight. My wife and I had that same experience. Our daughter was born pretty small, and she wasn't on the growth charts, excuse me, when she was born. So we did the same thing. We were up every 3 hours. We actually were even supplementing. We didn't breastfeed, but my wife did pump, so we had the baby was doing breast milk. Were you able to breastfeed or pump, and were you able to do that, or did you guys do something totally? Did you just do formula strictly? If you don't mind me asking.
Not at all. We started, we both wanted to try breastfeeding. We know, you know, there's enough science out there that at least for us made it worth trying.
Right.
For whatever reason, who knows? My wife's supply really just never came in. So at the most we were 50-50 between breast milk and formula. But we're 100% on formula now though.
Gotcha. So with that a little bit, sorry, Mike, I know you're going to ask him, but to kind of piggyback that, how was that supporting your wife on that? I know my wife, we were able to pump. So we had a lot of supply and we had a lot for a long time, which for us was great to increase the weight. But I know it bummed my wife out, and it was tough because, you know, I tried to support her as much as I could when she wasn't able to breastfeed. How did you guys handle that? Was it difficult? Was it just something you kind of just took on and just kind of moved forward, or how did you guys handle
it? Just accept it and move on.
Well, you know, we really did. My wife's a very practical person, and she knew that there was, if it wasn't going to happen, there was nothing she could do to make it happen. So she accepted pretty early that we were going to have to supplement. And then really about, probably a week or so ago now, her supply just totally dried up. No pun intended. It just, it was just nothing. So
just evaporated into nothing.
Yep. Yeah. So, you know, like I said, she's a very practical person. So, you know, of course, you know, I do whatever I can, but you know, practically speaking, other than our words, what can we do?
Right. No,
exactly. You can't get out and get out and push. It's not
right.
From the male end, it's not there's nothing but you know, kind words and encouragement.
And that's it. You know, you let her know that, you know, you're frustrated, but you're not frustrated at her. You're not upset at her. You know, you're the direction of your emotions, I think, are important in that way.
Right, right. You don't want to put anybody out, you know, lay blame on somebody when obviously there's nothing anybody could have done.
It's not her fault. She doesn't have supply.
Right. And a similar thing, my first son was born premature. So initially my wife also tried to breastfeed, but then being that he was in the hospital and they were only feeding him with bottles, he got used to having a bottle. So she would pump and then we would just use a bottle.
Okay.
But I mean, eventually again, the well ran dry, and we just had to use formula. And I mean, he turned out okay. I mean, it's fine.
Yeah, and that's right. Right, it's totally fine. You know, this stuff's pretty good these days. So,
yeah, it's all federally federally regulated. So,
right,
whether it's one brand or the other, they're all similar.
Yeah, he's not getting Nesquik.
So. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's always tough. And like you said, the stuff it's amazing that it's just you were getting all those supplements still that it's just like having the breast milk. So it's good to hear though that it was you were able to kind of move past that, because that's not always easy for dads and families. Like I said, it was more difficult at first for us. And if you don't mind me asking too, since it's been so new, and maybe there's some dads out there that are just going to go through this, what was your birthing process? You don't have to tell me everything, obviously, but what did you guys use? Did you guys use a doula? Did you guys just go and have the baby at the hospital? Was there skin to skin? Did you both do skin to skin? Were you able to do that? Can you kind of explain all that stuff and what your kind of your take on was it and why you decided to do those things?
Yeah, I'll give you sort of a Cliff's Notes version of the birth story. Long story short, the night my wife's water broke, she was in Granville for work.
Mm.
And stopped in Portland for gas and couldn't get the gas door open of her car. So
oh, wow.
She tried using her car key to leverage the gas door open, which she was able to do, but then she damaged the key. She bent the key so it wouldn't start the car.
Oh no.
So I had to drive out and give her spare key. So then she could then drive back to Lansing and we could go to the hospital. So
how far, for those of the people that don't know Michigan very well, how far of a distance is it from where you live? Like time wise?
So Grand Rapids to Lansing is about an hour. Once we got home, it's a hop, skip, and a jump to the hospital.
Right.
Maybe two
okay.
miles.
Okay.
So we got there, and we checked in at OB Triage, and we had just a couple weeks ago gone on a tour of the hospital and the whole mm-hmm. floor. Mm-hmm. So we go to check in, and the first person we see is our OB doctor, who happens to be on call that night.
Okay.
So,
that's fortuitous.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. So long story short, we get to the hospital about 9. We get through triage about midnight. She is given Pitocin because she's really not in labor. And what they told us is, this was the night of a pretty bad snowstorm here in Michigan. So,
mm-hmm.
What they say is that, they were very busy that night because they claim that, a rapid change in the barometric pressure will cause late-term pregnancies, women's water to break.
Oh.
So she wasn't, he was 2 weeks early on the nose. So and she wasn't really laboring until really they gave her the Pitocin. It's just that her water had broken.
Ah.
So he was born at 38 weeks on the nose. So she basically labored all night, got an epidural early morning, maybe 4 a.m. And what's funny is our doctor was on call all night and she says, well, I have this appointment at 8:30 down in Mason, about 20 minutes south of Lansing,
mm-hmm.
that she'd like to make. So about 7:45, she says, can you try pushing, to my wife, not to me. And, so sure. So 15 minutes later, my son is born and the doctor says, congratulations, it's a boy. I got to go.
it's so funny on how many
scoot.
Right, it's so funny how many times how much the doctors have done these in their routine. It's a job just like our jobs, and they just they know the ins and outs and when it's going to be a normal pregnancy yeah. or whatever, and they just can move that way. It's just and it's such a big deal to you, obviously, because you're not you go through it once, sometimes
right.
some families 13 times, but it's a huge deal to you. So if you hear that, it's like, wow, okay, you sure you're just gonna leave me with this baby and you're gone and that's it? But yeah,
and this is one of those times where I was very happy to be a number.
Right.
I want to go through the process as smoothly and as right. uneventfully as possible.
Totally, totally.
So I really don't mind. But to get back to your question, yeah, she did do the hospital. is what they call a baby-friendly hospital. So mm-hmm. so they do skin-to-skin for the first hour
Good.
Of that's life. Nice. And I so with, and that's with mom. And that was in the delivery room. And then we packed our stuff up and moved to our post-delivery room.
Right.
And I think it wasn't until then that I was able to do it.
That's good. That's
but, so awesome. We were posted up in that room for, you know, the next day and a half. So we got a lot of good quality time in.
That's awesome. So that's good to hear. That's awesome to hear. So you're back home, and I know I remember I'm looking back to my first experience of when our daughter was born. It wasn't that long ago, but I remember leaving, and we had our daughter in Ann Arbor, which is about an hour and a half away from where I live. Hour and on a, with traffic, sometimes an hour, but without traffic. But anyways, I remember leaving that hospital and being terrified the first time I had to drive. Everything else was fine for me, but driving was like, okay, I've got to like really be aware of what I'm doing here. And I just remember thinking about everything as I went. How was that first drive home for you?
I did not experience that at all. I'll be honest with you. I felt totally normal driving home.
Wow, that's great. That's
great. I'm a reasonably careful nice. Driver, but I didn't, I wasn't going 10 below the speed limit with my hazards on or anything.
Yeah, I didn't go to that extreme. I just remember doing that. But yeah, I just remember being that way that it was. So, and it's only been about 4 weeks, but what is, something that you've learned along the way that, you know, being a new dad that you wish you would have known 2 weeks earlier before you had the baby that you've learned just from an experience, whether it was kind of something that didn't go the way it was planned but ended up figuring out a way to work it out for the next time, or just some sort of fail that you know you cover up now that you know, oh, I've got to do this, that you could share that maybe will help a new dad out there and help them not reinvent the wheel.
Diaper changing mishaps.
I've had those.
You know, I guess, yeah. You abandon a lot of, I don't want to say modesty, but ego.
Yeah.
You know, we took him over to meet a family friend of my wife's for the last 30 years. This uh-huh. woman's known my wife for as long as she's been alive, and she asked me, have you been peed on yet? And my response to her was today.
Right.
Yeah. It's like it happens. He peed in his own ear yesterday.
Oof.
So you got to laugh at some things.
If you can't laugh at it, you're going to be crying.
Maybe that's it. If that's my advice to new dads, it's yeah. Take it all. Don't take yourself so seriously. Maybe take it with a grain of humor too.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I was, I remember one of the first few months or first few weeks, my daughter actually pooped on me, which was cause I was picking her up.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was one of those poops, man, where no diaper was going to stop it either. It was a blowout. Right. And it was like, woof, that was an interesting day. And I was just stunned. And I'm like, I remember my wife was upstairs and I was like, can you help me? And she's like, well, what's wrong? And I'm like, well, I think I've been pooped on. It was just funny, but it was hilarious. And, one of those stories
they don't ever live down.
Nope.
They got a lot of force in there.
They could weaponize that stuff, couldn't they?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Comes out with some authority.
For sure. That for sure. Does. Well, at least, and I'll tell you, once they start eating some solid food, those are some interesting poops when you're changing those,
really?
I'll tell you.
Oh, the smell increases exponentially. Yes. The nastiness.
Not to scare you or scare any of our listeners, but yeah, those are always fun, and that's when sometimes it's like if you've changed one or two in a row, or your wife has been changing a lot, it's like maybe I should step up and take this one for the team, because it's not always fun to be the person doing that one. So.
Right.
Do you guys have a system at home? Like, do you rotate who wakes up, or do you do you do certain things like in the morning? I'm assuming you're back to work now before you go to work, or I'm assuming your wife is probably maybe still back at home. I don't know.
Yeah, she's back at home through the end of the month, which has been great. And yeah, I am back as of last week. Mm-hmm. What was nice about having a baby around the holidays is there's a lot of built-in time off there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So I haven't even taken, and we can probably discuss this later, but I haven't even taken my official paternity leave yet. I've just been sprinkling in vacation days.
Good.
Nice.
In between the holidays. So it's been very, very nice. And I'm fortunate that I've been able to bank a lot of that time, knowing that this was coming. So
good.
So that's cool. But yeah, so we sort of talked earlier about it. The way that his feeding schedule is now, I wake up, it's usually in between like midnight and 1:30. He usually gets up. We feed him about 9 or 9:30 and set him down to sleep. And so he wakes up, you know, usually in the midnight hour, and I'll get up with him then to feed him and change him and get him back down. And then she'll wake up with him usually around 4 to do the same. And then a lot of the time, she'll just stay up. She'll put him back to sleep. She'll stay up and she'll go to the early gym class at her gym. So she's been able to do that the last couple of weeks.
Good.
Nice.
That's really good. So, that's cool. That you got a plan and it's situated out. That's really, really, really good.
And during the day, it's just kind of whatever. It's, you know, whatever happens. It's not, we don't have a hard and fast rule or a rotation or anything.
Right. You just kind of do what needs to be done.
Exactly.
Well, and
go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that the first probably week or two, I bet, and I hope my wife never hears this, but I bet I changed about 90% of the diapers. and I was
same totally, here, man.
I was totally fine with it. She was recovering. She was tired. Totally. You know, give them to me. It's fine. I'll do it.
Right. No, that's it.
We'll never bring up the fact that you've changed more diapers.
Oh, no.
Because then they're going to bring that up. Well, I carried him for 9 months. What did you do? You're just going to – don't go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
That's an argument nobody's going to win.
Absolutely.
I remember one time I had a pretty and it's been talked about on the show before. I was sick, and I had this really bad – like, not bad, but I had a skin graft, and they took skin from a really deep incision below my belly, and we were talking about how horrible that was and where my incision is, and kind of talking about it in comparison to where my wife had a C-section. And boy, I was around some of the OBs and whatnot and talking about it, and I don't think, you know, they didn't know I had meningitis. They didn't know the scope of what it was. But it was like, yeah, but she just had a baby. And I'm like, you're right. And like, I just kind of, and it wasn't like I was playing that like, oh, I'm better than this or that, but it was like, yeah, you don't want to go down those rabbit holes around anyone that's had a baby, because it's a bad idea. And it wasn't, I wasn't even trying to do that. So yeah, we were trying to avoid those things. Totally.
No man is going to ever win that argument.
Nope. And really, sometimes I think about it, nor should we really. I mean, I've been there. How did you handle the whole birth? You know, I know a lot of guys can do it. Some can't. You guys, from the sounds of it, you did natural birth. So, how did you handle all that as experiencing that for the first time?
Yeah, she did have an epidural about halfway through her labor.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in charge of left leg. And honestly, I wasn't sure how I would handle it physiologically. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to deal with it. And honestly, it was no problem at all.
Good.
I was sort of surprised at how well I took it, in fact. So.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, no, I know. It was, that's always something, and I'm a squeamish person, so I was really nervous about that. But it's funny when it's your own that things just change. I don't know about you, Mike, but, you know, I experienced it much differently than I thought I would experience it, because I was trying to prep myself to for the worst of what could happen to me, and I didn't want to be that guy on a stretcher and not next to my wife where she's freaking out because I'm not there.
Right. And we were warned about that.
Right.
In our what I call baby school.
Right.
Birthing class.
The class,
right.
They're not going to attend to you. You know, you are not their first priority. So you better do what you can to stay conscious.
Yep. Or, you know, what was good about us is we did a plan. We did a birthing plan. I don't know if you did, Mark, but and every time I told him, you know, on there, it was like, you know, I don't know how I'm going to handle it. I don't love that. You know, I'm not a person that can handle it all the time very well. So, you know, they were conscious of that too before I went in. But it was funny because I was able to do everything and probably more than most average people can do in a birthing experience. And I was surprised by that for me.
Pleasant surprise, though, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's a, it's a really neat experience. A really neat experience. And
I didn't want to be, you know, sitting in a chair with my head between my legs when my kid was born.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Cool. So you mentioned something about, before we go into our break here, you mentioned something about you not having to take any paternity leave. Do you plan on still taking paternity leave now that you've, you guys were, it worked out that the schedule you were able to use your vacation days and it was over the holidays. Are you still planning on taking some of that time to be home at a later date? Or are you allowed to do that? Or, you know,
I am. I got a year to take, we get 2 weeks and we have to use them consecutively. So my plan is to take it, in, I want to say it's the first couple of weeks in February. She's going back to work, like I said, end of January. And part of her job requires her to be in her company's offices up north in Traverse City and then in the UP.
Okay.
So she's planning on going back up there in February. So that's when I'm going to take my time. So I'll be home with him the week that she's
That's an awesome plan.
That's awesome.
It worked out. I was thinking about that when you said, you know, you hadn't been able to use – hadn't had to use any of your time, but your wife is off right now. So, I mean, the best use of your time off would have been, I mean, obviously to take it when your wife had to go back and then you can just extend that time.
And it's also nice. It's also nice to hear that you're actually taking it. You know, there's so many times in the male world that, and it's sad, and not to get any politics, but in the ever-changing scheme of politics, I feel like sometimes we're moving away from it again, but it's almost shameful for dads to take paternity leave. I know many of dads out there that don't take the full leave or only did a little bit or only took half of what they're allowed.
Right.
And I think it's a disservice. I look back, I didn't take as much time with my daughter as I wanted to because I was planning for her to have surgery and I was going to take the time because my wife couldn't. So I was going to take 6 weeks. So I didn't take as much as I wanted to. And you know, as I said on a previous episode, we're expecting again in May, May 1st, end of April. And I'm going to use my time. It's important that you're there for those things, and I feel like it's sad that sometimes as a culture, as a culture in the United States, because this isn't like that in other areas, that we don't as males use that time. It's seen, well, the wife had the baby, she should stay home, she should recover, and you know the dad goes back to work because that's what we do. And you know, there are now studies out there where, like we talked about, skin to skin for the male and just that early bonding time that needs to happen from the male's perspective, too. And it's sad sometimes that not everybody takes that time. And I applaud you for taking that full time because it doesn't always get done.
Definitely. And I'm all over this kid. My wife says, hey, I'll take him for a while. I said, no, you won't. He's my buddy.
There you go. There you go.
Nobody.
Well, we're gonna take a short break here in a second. But before we do that, just remember that we are a part of the Parents On Demand Network, the Pod Network. You can get the Pod Network app on iTunes or the App Store or the Android Store. And there are plenty of other podcasts out there for moms, dads, couples, different experiences, different walks of life just outside of what ours is. So check that app out. Check out the Parents On Demand Network. You can always find our podcast on iTunes as well as a standalone or Android or any other many other podcast databases that are out there. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we're going to talk to Mark about some of his favorite movies he's excited to talk to share with his son as he gets older. All right, welcome back to the Dad Experience. We're here talking to Mark about his experience of being a new dad, only 4 weeks old. His son is only 4 weeks old, Edmund, and we're excited to have him on. But like we've started here in 2018, as kind of our new thing, we've been talking and asking, what are your three favorite films, or even, I guess, you know, TV shows can sneak in there if need be, that you're excited to share, being a movie buff, and I know Mike's a movie buff, that you're excited to share with your child. You know, in the previous episode, we talked about ours, but we always want to hear what the guests are, and maybe there's something new out there that we'll be sharing with our child. So Mark, what are your three kind of top go-to that you're just so excited to share with your son?
The first thing that comes to mind, I think, are the Muppet movies. There's a couple of Muppet movies that I've always liked. The Muppet Christmas Carol, and then just the Muppet movie where they go to Hollywood and they want to be rich and famous.
Yeah, those are great. Man, those are awesome. You got a third one or no? Those two.
Well, it's those kind of the my generation Disney movies came to mind. Lion King, Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, etc.
Yeah.
But to keep things going, since Edmund's named after my grandpa, and Robert is actually my wife's grandpa's name, so that's where the name comes from. So he's Edmund Robert.
Okay.
I want to show him John Wayne movies because my dad introduced me to those, and I want to introduce.
Nice.
Him.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. That's really cool, and it's a connection, and it's neat to. It'll be neat to kind of connect it and learn about family history. It sounds like too with that one there. So that'll be cool. That'd be real cool. So, but thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate your time and taking your time. I know being having a 4-week-old at home, making it for 30 minutes is pretty impressive. So thanks so much for being here and doing this with us. And hopefully it wasn't too painful for you. But thanks so much, Mark, for being here.
Thanks for coming out.
You bet. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Oh, no problem. Well, hopefully we'll have to have you maybe at a year. We'll bring you back on and see if things have changed for you. Let's mark that one down. We'll have you down maybe next December. We'll find a time to talk to you again because it'd be interesting to see if anything's changed, and maybe we'll listen back to this episode before we do that and kind of move forward and see what's the same and what's changed. But as always, Mike, thank you so much for taking the time out as well and being that second chair, that co-host with me today. It's always a good time. So thanks, Mike, for doing that.
No problem. Glad to be here.
Yeah.
Mark, thanks a lot for coming out, man.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me.
And you can always check us out on Twitter at DadExpPodcast. Shoot us a line, tweet at us. You got a show idea, you want to be on the show, let us know. You can also check our website out, www.tdepodcast.weebly.com. And you can always find our email. All that stuff will be posted in the show notes. So thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time on the Dad Experience.